Karkowitis in the middle gets a run, and Better Loosen Up is getting out with Belmez down the outside. Karkowitis has broken loose at the 200 metre mark, two lengths in front. Better Loosen Up going after him, but running in and further out on the track with a great run is Ode. Ode is after Karkowitis. Better Loosen Up in the middle is coming with a magnificent run. Karkowitis, Better Loosen Up, and Ode. Better Loosen Up in the middle's put his head in front. Better Loosen Up has won for Australia. Better Loosen Up has won the Japan Cup from either road.
Brian Martin, that gives me goosebumps listening to that race call. It was 30 years yesterday that Better Loosen Up tasted success in that Japan Cup. Does it feel like yesterday? And I can see the smile on your face when you listen back to that call.
Amazing, Gareth. 30 years, it's gone so quickly. Yeah. But it seems a little bit like yesterday when you you recall what happened in the lead-up. But the horse was just the champion of the spring here in Melbourne, so he was right at the top of his powers going into Japan. It was such a great field. I don't think there's been a field to equal it, and this will be the 30th running this weekend. But it was just fabulous for the Clark family, Michael Clark and the Hayes family, and for a race caller to go there, and the breeder and the owners. And, you know, we're sort of like our Olympic Games in so many ways. But I think it's my most favourite race call and moment in racing, just to be there in Japan with 167,000 people. So it takes a bit of topping.
Better Loosen Up was written that day by Michael Clark, and he joins us now on RSN Central as we celebrate the 30th anniversary of Michael and Better Loosen Up winning the great race for Australia. Good morning to you, Michael, and thanks for your time this morning.
Pleasure, Gareth. Nice to be on your show, and so nice to hear that call by Brian. And, you know, when you said you got goosebumps, I honestly did again. I haven't heard it for a while, but as Brian will explain, we're all very good friends with the owners, the trainer, Colin Hayes, his son David, his wife Prue, and my family were there, and what a special day.
Michael, can you chat about the build-up towards the Japan Cup? So, when you interview a jockey after they win the Melbourne Cup, like young Jai McNeil did this year, he said it's life-changing. It changed his life. But the Japan Cup, can you just explain to our listeners how big that race is over in Japan and what it means to the people of Japan?
I think, Gareth, I'm so happy for that young boy, Jai McNeil. I've had the pleasure of meeting him. It's definitely going to change his life. You realise later on in life, winning the Melbourne Cup, I never forget this, Gareth. I wasn't the best student at my school at Parkdale High, right? Hmm. And I think the principal was very happy that when I left school, and when I won the Melbourne Cup, they actually got me to go back and talk about my about winning the Melbourne Cup to the school, right? And not being the best student, but winning the Melbourne Cup and being asked to go back to your school and give a speech is life-changing. And I've been lucky enough to be an ambassador for the Melbourne Cup Tour.
Yep.
And it really does change your life, and it is a special moment. But winning the Japan Cup, as Brian will explain, going overseas and achieving that, it was a little bit like the Olympic Games. You know, that's what I sort of related to. And you're representing your country or Australia, and just lucky to be part of it.
Brian, explain the build-up and how Australia got behind Better Loosen Up. And was it an easy decision from 3UZ at that time and RSN 927 to send you across to Japan to describe the race to us here in Australia? And it wasn't just 3UZ you called the race for, is that right?
Yeah, that's right, Gareth. The management at 3UZ at the time realised the importance of getting a radio call back to Australia because of what Better Loosen Up had been doing. And his spring, as Michael will testify, his spring was just unbelievable. He won the Fian, the Turnbull, the Cox Plate, running a track record coming from 30 lengths behind them, had a tune-up for the Japan Cup in winning the McKinnon Stakes easily over Stylish Century. And at one stage, the invitation was going to go to either Better Loosen Up or Superimpose, but once he won the Cox Plate, it was a foregone conclusion that Blue, as we called him, Better Loosen Up, would go to Tokyo. So we had a bit of a lead-up time to sort of try and get all the ducks in a row to be over there, and it was, you know, unknown territory for me. I'd, I'd been to Japan. I went there in 1982 with a racing tour, and that was the second running of the Japan Cup. And I realised then how big this race was going to be, and they were throwing prize money at it. The year prior in 1989, that great mare Horlicks beat a champion over there, Aguri Cup, in a photo finish and ran a world record. So the race just continued to build and build. So we had time to sort of see how we could do it. And then the station said, yeah, look, let's be a part of a Better Listen Up and the team. So I was there 4 days before the race, sending reports back from track work at the press conference and covering all that back for the radio station 3 years there back in Melbourne. At the same time, Channel 9 then came into the play in the last couple of days before the race, and they wanted to break into the cricket, the Australian Test in Brisbane, and cover the race as well. So it built all up that way. The horse, there's a bit of upside-down track work, Mick, wasn't there, during the week before you got there?
Yes, I remember Kate, which is Better Listen Up strapper, and she rode him in track work, and him being so lazy, he didn't work that well, Brian, and all the press took, he possibly can't win on his track work, and, because he was just so lazy by himself, that at race day he was a different horse.
And he got out to 6.2. Can you imagine that 6.2 on the tote, Gareth? Now, I mean, mate, what odds? I think back home in Australia he paid $2.10 or something like that. So we're on into a man. Michael, the day before, rode in an international invitation race, and I was out there with David Hayes and the family just as a guest and just sort of familiarising myself with where I'd be calling from. And, God, that was an eye-opener. But I remember, Michael, there was a horse that actually, you're riding a horse going to the barrier. Didn't it throw its head back, Mick, and whacked you in the eye and you got a cut over your eye?
Yeah, I did, Brian. I actually got about four or five stitches, right? And that was an unfortunate incident, but there was nothing going to stop me riding the next day.
Hey, yeah. Brian, you say Better Loosen Up was 6.2. When we think of the Japanese now, and we've seen what Liz Grasseur did in the Cox Plate and blew our best away, even some horses from Europe and the success that they've had on the world stage. And you talked about Better Loosen Up's dominance in that spring of Melbourne, winning a Cox Plate, McKinnon, a Turnbull before that, and a Fian. The Japan Cup would have had to be the best field that he competed against in that preparation. Would I be right in saying that?
Yeah, absolutely. We had horses like Al Wahush, who ran, I think, about 5.8 favourite. He'd been running in the Belmont Stakes. We had, horses coming in from the Belmont that either won or went close in the placings. Ode was a filly who'd contested the Oaks in France. Probably one of the best horses in the race was the horse from England with Ray Cochrane on, called Kakawethis. It was beaten head and head in the finish. It actually had gone to Belmont and raced in the Belmont Stakes turf. But it was a Group 1 winner back in the King George. So you just had the best collection. And not forgetting, of course, the horse Stylish Century, who chased Better Loosen Up more often than not before he got to go around again. And it was quite interesting. The parade happens nearly an hour before the race. You get a great view of the horses from all the different tiered stand area. And I'll never forget Better Loosen Up parading. And he looked so insignificant. He just looked like a little plain bay gelding from Australia, because here are these Kakawethis, four-year-old stallions, and three-year-old colts, Whitestone from Japan, American horses coming in, beautiful-looking fillies and mares. And he just looked out of place. And I don't know how Michael felt about him, but inside was this lion about to erupt. It was just extraordinary to watch that parade. Out they came. Michael's probably best to describe what happened when he came through the tunnel with Stylish Century, of course, and that was Kevin Moses. And Michael was aboard Better Loosen Up. It was a fair way down on the list. He was horse number 10. And Michael, what was it like when you came out that roar, 167,000 fans?
Brian, I've never experienced anything like that. Very, coming back after winning the Melbourne Cup's a special thing. But I remember the roar, and when I come up that tunnel, I got to the barriers, and I was talking to Kevin Moses. I said, mate, I said, I've never heard anything like that. And he said, because he was the first horse out, And the crowd just erupted, and he said to me, I'll never forget, he said, I felt like a rock star. He said, I was like Michael Jackson when I came out. When he came out and the roar of the crowd, it was deafening. Actually, it was an amazing feeling. And the Japanese are so passionate about their horse race. I'd say that's their biggest sport in their country.
Michael, what did Better Loosen Up feel like that day? And were you confident that he could win the Japan Cup after the season that he had in Melbourne? And he would have had a few grand finals in that particular campaign as well.
And the biggest thing Better Loosen Up, Gareth, had going for him, not just a great horse, but he was so relaxed, and he travelled, he acclimatised it. And when he was walking around the mountain yard, it was just like he was so relaxed under me. But I remember that day, Colin Hayes never used to give him any riding instructions, right? But that day he took me downstairs, we walked the track, and he said, Michael, he said, I know in Australia we've been riding this horse, we used to get to like the 500 or the 600, and he'd always tell me, just give him room, right? Get him to the outside, and you know, he's probably a better horse than most of these at that stage. But that day in Japan, he said to me, we walked the track, he said, look, he said, today you've got to ride a race. We're up against the best horses in the world. He said, can't just pull to the outside. I want you to try and track straight and save as much ground as you can and just ride for a bit of luck. And it happened.
You know, Gareth, the interesting thing, and I mentioned they had the 2 days of racing on the Saturday and the Cup was on the Sunday. And David Hayes, after the races concluded on the Saturday, and I had sort of press accreditation to go back down to the international stable area, and Better Loosen Up and Stylish Century are in adjoining stalls, and they sort of virtually have the barn to themselves. And David said, come down, Ben, come down with me. We're going to weigh the horse. I'll just check on his weight. So he walked the horse about 50 metres across to the horse weighing machine. He said he should weigh in at 524 kilos. He stepped him on the scale and bang, right to the ounce. Yep. He was 524 kilos. And he just said, mate, he is absolutely spot on. Michael, behind the barrier, you have to have a nervous one. What did you do?
Well, I'll tell you, Brian, for that race, they parade for ages, and when you get to the barriers, you've got to wait for a fair while, right? And I actually wanted to go to the bathroom, and I was thinking, well, so I've jumped off him, and I've got the reins around one arm. But when I went to go, I couldn't go to the toilet. I was that nervous, I'll tell you. But he was such a relaxed horse, and, yeah, what a special day.
I'll let you the army bloke to find a bush behind the starting gates.
Well, it was a little bit embarrassing because apparently they had the cameras and they were wondering what I was doing. But, yes, it was, just special memories of mine and to be a part of it with you and the Farrah family and the Hayes. It was just an amazing day.
Brian, I love a punting story. Can you tell us about the great Bill Collins? He was there on the trip with you in Japan and he didn't mind a punt, Bill. And obviously you must have heard David Hayes talk to you about the weigh-in. The horse has never been better. Did you back him that day? And then I'll go to you, Clarkie. Hopefully they gave you a little bit as well.
What happened there was Gabe Farrar represented his brothers and Leon Fink and Luke Coomey. They were the whole syndicate that owned the great horse. And Gabe was the registered owner just in the race card for the day. And Gabe was very close to Bill Collins, and Bill and I were sort of hosting the tour over there. And Bill was the bag man. He was the one to put the money on the tote. And he did. And those boys, as Michael will attest to, those Farrah boys loved a bet. So God only knows what they had on, but, you know, it was odds of 5.2 or 6.2 to 1. So it was a massive collect. And Bill went down to collect after the race, all tote betting. Keeping in mind, you're getting about 110 yen to the dollar. So convert that, and they might have had 50,000 on the horse or whatever. So he had to collect a couple of million yen on the day, put it all into a little suitcase. That's all they could pay, and he had to go to an off-course tote on the Monday to get more. Anyway, so he's such a laconic, layback dude, Bill. Great man. So we're all on the one coach, everyone, all the internationals, going back to the Keio Plaza where we all stayed in Tokyo. Took about an hour and a half to get back from the race course, and it was just a mighty time. So we got back, and then the JRA put a fabulous party on that night for all the internationals. So we all get off the coach, and the coach is starting to move away from the reception area. Bill then realises he's left the bag of money on the coach. So there's the great race caller just retired, the great Bill Collins, running alongside this coach, banging on the wall to get the driver to stop so he could grab the bag of money. And in there was probably 2 or 3 million yen. So they nearly got away with the money again.
It was it's a great Australian story, a great Australian sporting story. And Brian and Clarkie, the last question before I let you go is, where would you rate it amongst the great performances by Australian horse?
For me, watching Black Caviar was sensational, but being part of winning the Japan Cup, you know, nearly equal to winning the Melbourne Cup, Gareth, it was so special. And I think the best thing was, you know, the team that went over there, like Gary Fantasy, all the families together, and to achieve it was amazing, especially with Brian and a man like Bill Collins, who I actually idolised.
Yeah. No, sensational, BM.
Yes, I think it's my greatest moment in racing to be a part of that team, that All Aussie team. And the great horse died in March of 2016 out at Living Legends, and he died at 30 years of age. He was inducted into the Racing Hall of Fame at Crown. He turned up there live in 2004. He was a mighty horse with the greatest will to win I've ever seen in a thoroughbred, and he's the only horse in the 29 runnings of the Japan Cup to win it. And he did it just with sheer class. So there's been some great moments for me in racing, but to be a part of that, I'll never forget it. My favourite moment, without a doubt.
It's been a privilege and an honour to relive Better Loosen Up winning that Japan Cup 30 years ago, nearly to the day. Good on you, BM.
Thanks, Gareth.
You're a legend, Michael Clarke. Thanks for joining us here on RSN Central.
Love listening to you, Gareth. And, hopefully we'll catch up one day. Yeah.